All right, here we go, hour number two. And we're going to have some fun tonight, shining a different light on a subject that a lot of people are very excited about. They're being made excited about nicotine by certain people in the community who are raving about nicotine. Wait till I play this video for you. You're going to be beside yourself. It's not very long. Are you there, young lady?
I am.
There's nothing else to do on Wednesday night, so she just hangs around.
It's cold and dark.
Yeah. This nicotine thing has been around for a bit, and it's being pushed by Dr. Artifice, artists, and I don't know what to tell you. There's a lot of information about it. Here, nicotine. I've got these readers, Nicotine Fail.
Okay.
You want to start on those?
Well, I've got a couple, too. You want me to do mine first, or?
Oh, ladies first.
All right. Well, just to say that this nicotine that was sold as a so-called antidote, a year and a half, maybe it's been 2 years, I'm not sure, that looks so bright and promising, has kind of lost its luster. And people who have been using it and relying on it to function are now realizing it's not working so well anymore.
No,
and the symptoms that they had before are still, they're coming back. They need more of the nicotine to have the same effect, which I knew this was going to happen because it's a drug and it's having a drug-like effect on people. It's not curing anything.
It does symptom-like things to the body. It makes you feel a little more energetic. That's why people will knock back another cigarette when they get down a little bit. The nicotine,
sure.
It's like amphetamine in a way. Just keep it simple. Go ahead.
And, this idea that it's somehow dislodging the spike from anything has been debunked. There have been studies that have shown that it's not binding to the nicotinic acetylcholine receptor, as artists would have you believe. And when we talk about detoxing biotoxins...
Say that again, please. This is important science. It's not very complex, but it's simple, and no one else talks about it.
There is published research showing... They looked at that fairly early on, more than once, in the pandemic, as to, why were smokers having better outcomes when they had the virus.
Seemingly
and
better outcomes.
That was proposed as a possibility. Maybe the nicotine was blocking the spike from attaching to the nicotinic acetylcholine receptor. Now, that's a receptor that's very prevalent in your nervous system. And a couple studies looked at it and said, no, it's not the case. There's no competition happening there. And the main... receptor for this virus to get into the body is still the ACE2 receptor. So this idea that we're going to dislodge and get rid of a biotoxin that's, I think, permeated and deeply sequestered in the body just by using nicotine is really, I don't know, is it naive or deceptive? And
probably
allowing people to think that they're somehow protected by using it.
Both words can apply. It does seem to be a bit of, honestly, and just generally, it seems to be a bit of a misdirection. Yes, there can be short-term, you might feel better short-term, and they talk about, what was embedded, what was implanted in the spike protein. We hear that talk all the time, too. And there are a lot of bad things in the spike. Spike is the most deadly protein ever known to mankind, as far as I can tell. Terrible.
It's extremely inflammatory, and then there, nicotine will have some positive effect in that regard because it is an anti-inflammatory, especially when it comes to neuroinflammation of your nervous system and your
brain.
So
that's absolutely crucial.
Think
about all the complaints about neurology we report. Neurology. This is bad. You get an inflammatory syndrome working in your neurology, and you're miserable. Believe it.
So when we talk about detoxing from a biotoxin, which I would consider the spike a biotoxin, although it may, technically speaking, it may not fit that definition verbatim, But think of other things like the mold toxins. And those have wreaked havoc on people's health for decades.
Very good. Yes. What is it?
We have the Lyme biotoxins. Those are notorious as well. Babesiosis, Bartonella, Anaplasma, also known as Ehrlichiosis. These are really just pernicious types of biotoxins that people struggle to detox from, eliminate them from their body, and they do. But it takes effort, it takes commitment, discipline, and time. And wouldn't people love to just have some nicotine and be able to rid themselves of all these nasty biotoxins? It doesn't happen that way. So anyone that's telling you that is just outright lying. And in order to be able to eradicate biotoxins from the body, you need a functioning liver. And unfortunately, with this virus, it has a tendency to infect the liver and damage it. And we know this from the work of Anthony Mawson, who he's been the big guy, I guess, for decades, banging on the vitamin A toxicity thing. And now there's others who have joined him and are promulgating his research, which is good, mm-hmm. because one of the things that happens with a damaged liver is you can get the release of stored forms of vitamin A just being released indiscriminately into the bloodstream and circulating and wreaking havoc.
Too much.
And vitamin A, as we all know, most people know or should know that it's genotoxic, meaning it can damage a developing fetus. It's also a endocrine disruptor, so it can cause, funnily enough, a lot of the symptoms that we are seeing in women who are exposed to this bioweapon illness, the bleeding, the menstrual issues.
That is interesting.
Intracranial hypertension.
Well, there are only so many symptoms to go around. Do you remember that?
Well, there's some that are classic for vitamin A toxicity. I don't think that's been looked at enough.
That is an unusual one. Nobody talks about vitamin A toxicity that I've heard except you.
Well, there's a few, but they are, not well heard, let's put it that way. They are out there.
What we're trying to do here is to present the other side of the coin. All right? This is an argument. The nicotine thing is
I
the latest.
Well, I some of these
alt-news
narratives that are being pushed on people, left, right, and center, every time you turn around, there's nicotine again. It must be good. It needs a counter-narrative, and it needs a reality check.
You all deserve that option. You deserve to hear both sides, okay? So you make your own decision. We're just here to bring you the other side that's not getting pushed around as much as its counterpart is.
Well, and let's remember, nicotine is vasoconstrictive, so it's going to
It does something else, too. What is it? There's several things it does. Nicotine is not
Well,
good.
When it comes to the liver, it's actually quite disruptive to bile production. So if you really are serious about detoxing, you don't want something that's going to shut down bile production. And nicotine has a nasty habit of seeding gallstones. It's highly associated with gallstones.
Oh, how interesting. Very interesting.
So
and gallstones, we have an epidemic
this
of gallstones now. There are more gallstone reports now than ever out there. And that can be traced to nicotine in some cases. So
I would trace it to the virus and or the spike protein, because once those liver cells become infected or damaged by this virus or the spike, remember it's very inflammatory, they no longer can produce the choline that's needed for your bile. And so you end up becoming toxified. You can't detoxify, because toxins leave the body through the bile. That's one of the jobs of your liver
is to package the gallbladder,
up and get these things out.
The gallbladder ends up being blocked, mm-hmm. and the bile can't move like it should.
That's right. Yep. And so, these damaged liver cells can spill all kinds of things, whatever has been stored in your liver over time, into the bloodstream, and it will make you sick. You will feel sick when that happens.
So okay, let's go back. People with gallstones say, "What did she say? How did I get these gallstones?" The easiest way to explain that is how.
Well, I would say it's a swampy liver. Your liver is just not functioning because maybe you're eating a lot of high fructose corn syrup, processed foods,
poison,
tons of copper stored there. Estrogen will do it. Estrogen is notorious for slowing down liver
function. Copper,
too.
That's right. The liver is a repository of copper. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Not all the copper you eat goes out. So, and when it doesn't go out, it gets stored primarily in the liver, but then it ends up going into other organs like the brain, the kidneys, the heart. And that's, when the liver's not functioning, as it is in a lot of people right now. A lot of people are having liver problems to the point of liver failure.
They don't even know it. They don't know it. They just don't.
If you're really serious about detoxing from this bioweapon, nicotine is not going to do it. Nicotine's good for symptom relief and maybe some neuroprotection, but getting rid of it is going to require some commitment of supporting the liver and the pathways of elimination.
Best way
and
to
there are protocols
support
that will do that. You know, we've gone over using binders.
Yes. So anybody with liver trouble, even if they don't know it, would do well to probably include some binders into their supplementation regimen.
I mentioned in the past glucomannan, and it's a natural one. I think is it cognac root or something. That's a broad spectrum.
Glucomannan.
Yeah, glucomannan.
M-A-N-I-N?
M-A-N-N-A-N, mannan.
That was my second guess.
It goes by a couple different names sometimes, brand name, like PGX is one.
And they're going to bind to...
Basically, they're sopping up your bile. The bile is carrying the toxins that you don't want reabsorbed because, believe it or not, 95% of the bile that your body or liver produces gets reabsorbed. So you're trying to prevent that reabsorption of this toxic bile back into your body. And binders will help eliminate it so that doesn't happen.
And that will lead to gallstones, that kind of thing.
Well,
does it set the stage
the
for
bile,
it?
If there's not enough choline in the bile, it gets sludgy.
All right, so choline's a good thing to take.
Phosphatidylcholine, yeah, because a lot of people aren't making choline. A lot of people who have been affected by this virus are not making choline, and that has implications for your liver. And also your brain. Your brain needs choline to function, as in acetylcholine. And that's one of the things, in my opinion, that this nicotine is compensating for. When you can't make choline, you're going to have brain fog. And so what do? You whip these acetylcholine nicotinic receptors into working, just like taking a drug for diabetes. You know, you beat the pancreas so it produces more insulin.
Interesting. All right, you got a reader to do there, or did you already breeze through them?
Let's see. Go ahead. This is...
I've got some here, too.
Just to make a point that
I'm going to play the video sometime. When do you want to do that?
Any time.
Well, let's play the video first.
Right.
No, we better do the readers first, then we'll...
Okay.
We're going to take this video apart. All right.
Okay, someone says that this is unvaxxed, victim of shedding... Can I ask what people are using or taking for shedding? Over Christmas, catching up with so many people, I am bleeding again, only after finishing my period 5 days prior. Nicotine was working well for 6 months, and now it's not.
So she got regular for 6 months, and then she fell off the wagon, so to speak. Her body just quit. Was this a whole nother cycle, a menstrual cycle, or just a spot episode? Did she ever explain that?
Well, this has been happening since the rollout of the bioweapon.
It just sounds like it's a big mess. The structure is just all distorted now. Okay, go ahead and do those readers.
That can be, we see this with copper toxicity, but now with this, you know, these retinoids, vitamin A, that's known to do similar things. In fact,
retinoids that you use on your skin?
Oh, yes, they can be topically absorbed, but when we say retinoids, we're talking about the vitamin A and its various derivatives. And probably the most notable toxic one that people use really, I would say rather indiscriminately, is Accutane. If anyone's ever taken Accutane, which is a drug for acne, it works by shutting down the fat-producing gland, so you know, you're not apt to have this cystic acne. And they're actually prescribing it for mostly for teenagers who are, you know, going through that period where their hormones are changing and they're prone to acne. But it's also associated with infertility and hair loss and drying out skin and mucous membranes, even libido issues. It's nasty stuff. And even after discontinuing it, it can have long-lasting effects. You know, there are support groups for people who have taken Accutane in the distant past, and they still are not right. So when you're messing with vitamin A...
Well, that's interesting, because that was being passed around like chocolate candy to people back in the day. Let's get that acne under control. Accutane.
Well, I wouldn't be casual about that. It's got a long list of nasty side effects, and the people in these support groups are really, you know, depression, anxiety, mood disorders, joint pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a living hell.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, how do you get it out of your body? Apparently, it's you know, it's long lived.
Hmm.
Anyway.
All right.
Moving on. One more here.
So people who are adding vitamin A to their diets, not necessarily the best thing to do, right?
I don't think there's a need to. It's estimated, they've done autopsies and looked at people's livers, and they estimate, based on these autopsies that have been done, that 30% of people in industrialized nations actually have enough vitamin A in their livers to consider them toxic. I mean, hypervitaminosis A. And, you know, where are you getting vitamin A from? Well, dairy products is a big one. And then they not just the naturally occurring vitamin A that would be in there anyway, but they often add vitamin A to it. You know, then you've got the beta carotene, which is a precursor.
I wonder what the motive for that is. Because I've seen dairy labels when I used to consume dairy long ago, and it seemingly always had vitamin A on it. I remember right.
Well, vitamin A, well, you know, I don't know. Do they always have our best interest at heart?
Never. Okay. Finish up to those.
I tried nicotine and it didn't help at all, and I don't like how I feel on it. And next person says, same here. It worsened my anxiety, and I didn't notice any benefits regarding shedding. Also, when I stopped using it, I had extreme insomnia. I deal with regular insomnia as it is, ever since getting sick from COVID via shedding. But when I stopped using the patches, I couldn't sleep for three full nights.
Wow, sounds addictive. I don't know what it is.
It's a stimulant.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what people sort of get hooked on. All right, that it for that one?
Yep.
All right, here's somebody writing on another group. Maybe it's the same group.
No, it's a different group.
Is it?
Okay. That one's an ALS group.
All right. I tried nicotine patches tonight for the first time. I woke up about an hour ago with the most hellacious nightmares. I wonder if it was caused by the patches. Has anyone had these issues? Other people on this forum have said that nicotine has helped with neuropathy from chronic Lyme disease. And a response came in. I use patches, but I cut them down to about 2 milligrams worth. I'm putting them behind my ears to pull out the spike protein and then take the andrographis to sweep it up. This lady's got it all figured out, doesn't she? Okay. Puts it behind your ears to pull that spike out. All right. Oh, my. I used some yesterday and did have a wicked headache, but then I also realized maybe I was coming down with something. By the late afternoon, everything was hurting, all my joints, etc. And then I had a fever of 100.6, so I think I caught something, likely from my daughter. I'm glad I actually have a fever, though. I don't think my headache was from the patches, but it may have contributed to it. How much are you using? And the first poster says, I think about 2 milligrams, or what is it, micrograms?
Milligrams,
cuts
yeah.
the patches down. But I'm done with them now. Too many nightmares. So it wasn't just one time.
Mm.
Now here's a... did you want me to post this? Study refutes the nicotinic hypothesis of SARS-CoV-2 infection mechanism.
Yeah, you could post that, sure. And that's just one of a few.
Yeah. So nicotine is not the knight in shining armor, okay? Just keep that in mind. There's a lot on the other side of the coin you are not being informed about. Okay. Now, for one of the most wild 2-minute videos that I've seen in a long time, we're going to play this now. This is Dr. Artis, the former chiropractor who's put himself at almost the top of the pyramid in the COVID world, and he's got a lot of followers out there. So some of you may not like this, but these are his own words, and you decide. We're not here to decide for you. All right.
Body, in your heart and in your brain and in your pancreas that creates insulin. Did you know you can't create insulin without nicotine? It's in fact the T cells, which are the cells that protect you from any respiratory infection ever.
I'm going to let this play through and then we're going to go back through it. You just heard a one whopper already.
Pneumonia, bacteria, doesn't matter. Every immune cell God put in our body has nicotine receptors on them to turn them on. Now that you know you've been lied to about foods containing nicotine and you've been feeding yourself and children nicotine your whole life and you didn't even know it, now it's time to tell you what else you have been lied to about since 1994 about nicotine. Why would they lie to us about nicotine if it's in all our vegetables we eat every day anyway? It's in every bell pepper you've ever eaten too. It's in every nightshade vegetable on earth. It's in every celery. I am convinced our government had to lie to all of us about nicotine. These are all the things that the FDA has known since 1994 that nicotine is a cure for. Now, this is important. Every one of you have been told that
Hold on to your hats.
Nicotine is a drug now, classified a drug by the FDA. It is not a drug. It's a nutrient found in tons of vegetables and plants on Earth. It is a nutrient. Nicotine is proven to reverse and prevent Parkinson's disease all by itself. Nicotine is published to cure and prevent and reverse Alzheimer's disease. Nicotine is published to cure and prevent multiple sclerosis, glioblastomas, brain tumors, which is the number one being diagnosed around the world right now, killing even young teenagers. They found during the pandemic, they published nicotine intravenously can dissolve a glioblastoma by itself in 3 days. Did you know that every cell in your human...
Okay. First of all, there's no such word as intravenously. It's intravenously. Just get that straight. All right, we're going to go back through this. You just heard some astounding things, and we'll play it again. And if I miss something, just tell me to just pause, and I'll pause. So here we go. The nicotine, wow, I don't even know what to call it. Here.
In your heart and in your brain and in your pancreas that creates insulin. Did you know you can't create insulin without nicotine?
You can't create insulin in your pancreas without nicotine. Now, he's not talking about cigarettes necessarily, but a patch is still raw nicotine, and that's what he does recommend. So you can't create insulin without nicotine. That's a new one on me. Okay.
The T cells, which are the cells that protect you from any respiratory infection ever, flu, pneumonia, bacteria, doesn't matter. Every immune cell God put in our body has nicotine receptors on them to turn them on. Now that you...
Nicotine receptors on them to turn them on. On. Any comment on that one? Who's done the science to prove all this?
Well, okay, let's be more specific. It's called nicotinic acetylcholine receptors. Yes, they're present on many cells throughout the body. They have a certain function.
Right.
That doesn't mean, I mean, they can be stimulated by nicotine, yes. But they're designed to be stimulated by choline.
I'm taking choline now. Choline's good for your brain.
It's really good for your brain. And
I'm not walking
into
the walls anymore. Okay.
Good.
All right, let's go back.
You've been lied to about foods containing nicotine, and you've been feeding yourself and children nicotine your whole life, and you didn't even know it. Now it's time to tell you what else you have been lied to about since 1994 about nicotine. Why would they lie to us about nicotine if it's in all our vegetables we eat every day anyway? It's in every bell pepper you've ever eaten too. It's in every nightshade vegetable on earth. It's in every celery. I am convinced.
We should be straight, though. This is not like taking a drag off an unfiltered Lucky Strike when you eat your food. It's tiny.
Yep.
Our government had to lie to all of us about nicotine. These are all the things that the FDA has known since 1994 that nicotine is a cure for. Now, this is important. Every one of you have been told that nicotine is a drug now, classified a drug by the FDA. It is not a drug. It's a nutrient found in tons of vegetables and plants on Earth. It is a nutrient. Nicotine is proven to reverse and prevent Parkinson's disease.
Nicotine is proven to reverse and to prevent Parkinson's. Have
That's
you
a bold
seen
statement.
That in the literature?
There is a lot of research into using nicotine therapeutically for some of these neurodegenerative conditions because it is a neuro-anti-inflammatory.
Right. To reverse and prevent Parkinson's. That's a pretty big statement.
That's a pretty big statement. I wonder if the FDA would have... Well, never mind.
Okay. All right, so we've just reversed and cured all Parkinson's, according to this.
It is a nutrient. Nicotine is proven to reverse and prevent Parkinson's disease all by itself. Nicotine is published to cure and prevent and reverse Alzheimer's disease.
All right, so now apparently we have literature out there that nicotine is going to reverse and prevent Alzheimer's disease.
Well, actually, when it comes to Alzheimer's, it looks as though, well, at least in the case of smoking, you're actually at increased risk of developing Alzheimer's.
So if you're puffing away, token on that nicotine, your chances of Alzheimer's, are certainly increased, if anything. They're not decreased. Is that what the papers say?
That's what the association says, yes. Now, nicotine is not a nutrient. Nicotine is a toxic plant alkaloid. It's part of a plant's chemical warfare. That's how plants defend themselves. It's an insecticide.
Interesting. All right. So it is a chemical.
I mean, not that it can't be used, you know, or exploited for its purposes.
It comes from
a
plant, so to speak. So,
yeah, it's present in tobacco. It's present in the nightshade family, tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, peppers. Those trace amounts in those foods. But those nightshades can be problematic for a lot of people. The amount of nicotine in any of those things is minimal.
Is it sensible to refer to nicotine as preventing and curing Parkinson's, having similar effects on Alzheimer's? Is that logical at this point?
I think the only statement we can say is that it has anti-inflammatory effects in the nervous system, which can be, you know, because these diseases, these neurodegenerative diseases are driven by inflammation.
Sure.
And okay, so if you have something that can calm that down... That's a good thing.
I see where he's going with that. Okay.
Prevent and reverse Alzheimer's disease. Nicotine is published to cure and prevent multiple sclerosis.
Is nicotine published
Somebody
to
better tell
cure,
those people.
cure and prevent MS? Wow, this is Pulitzer Prize time. Okay.
Blastomas, brain tumors, which is the number one being diagnosed around the world right now, killing even young teenagers.
I got to back that one up.
Nicotine is published to cure and prevent multiple sclerosis. Glioblastomas, brain tumors, which is the number one being diagnosed around the world right now, killing even young teenagers.
Are glioblastoma brain tumors the number one cancer being diagnosed around the world now? You said it's the number one being diagnosed around the world now. It wasn't more specific than that. I rather doubt that.
Yeah, that's at least not one of the ones
of kinds
that
of cancers
has mentioned, that who's been reporting right on this, you know.
Well, he's an oncologist. He should know. Okay, here's a little more.
During the pandemic, they published nicotine intravenously can dissolve a glioblastoma by itself in 3 days.
Okay, hold on. Nicotine intravenously injected will dissolve and correct the deadliest form of brain cancer, a glioblastoma, in 3 days. Where's the data on this?
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
So anyway, this just to give an idea. Be careful out there. I don't care who it doesn't matter which source it comes from. This is a former active chiropractor and obviously has an agenda. Seems to me like he's kind of throwing life rafts out with holes in them. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well,
I mean, these
I
are
think
just
it's
sweeping
luster,
statements. They're huge statements.
People are finding out for themselves. I mean, enough time has passed that people are discovering that it is not an antidote to anything.
No.
You know, I get it.
All
it's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, no, it's a life raft. It's got holes in it. Okay. So there you go. We're just trying to take a look at these things as objectively as we can, but curing and preventing Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dissolving glioblastomas in 3 days. I'm sorry. I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but I'm not naive, and that's really pushing it.
Well, again, these types of you know, one-hit wonders, you know, antidote-type
miracle
cures.
Well, they come and they go. We've seen them before.
But they're designed. They tantalize people so that they're not looking or not pursuing actual legitimate remedies for their conditions.
Now, this is out there in left field at best.
And people lose precious time with stuff like this. But that's the name of the game, right? You run out the clock,
well,
wait for enough
people
to die, and they can
now that we know that
push
anybody
forth their agenda.
Glioblastoma, the number one diagnosed cancer in the world, apparently, can just go on a 3-day nicotine drip, and that glioblastoma, that tumor, will just melt and dissolve, gone. See, this would be, if that were true, this would be Nobel Prize caliber science.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Anyway, this terrible bioweapon that has been created and released upon humankind demands the best open conversations about differing opinions on these things. You just don't want to follow one little light in the dark. There's many things out there. Okay, we have Dr. Byron Bridle standing by here, and standing by for days. Maybe we should have him sit down for a while. All right. Let me find my video here. What are we going to hear from Dr. Bridle?
Well, this was a roundtable that took place, I guess, about a month ago. There was, it was a foursome here. Byron Bridle, Jessica Rose, Sabine Hazen, and who's the attorney up in the left-hand corner, Canadian attorney?
Oh, yes. I can't remember his name.
But anyway, Byron Bridle is going to speak on the topic of the self-amplifying RNA vaccines that have been improved in Japan and are making their way here, and the dangers associated with them.
All right, very good. I think we're ready here. Let's bring it up. And the attorney's name is Sean Buckley. John Buckley. All right, so you're going to hear perhaps a couple of voices. Dr. Bridle, Byram, B-Y-R-A-M, has a very bad cough in this, so you'll have to just kind of listen around that. It seems like he's got something.
Can't fit in those jeans? Be careful with beans.
Hold on, I got to get this commercial. What is this guy's name? Gundry? Goodry?
Oh,
he's
Gundry,
everywhere
yeah.
now. I don't know. The guy's just, every other commercial seems to be Dr. Gundry. All right. Here's Dr. Bridle.
With this self-amplifying RNA vaccine that's been deployed against COVID as of October 1st in Japan, and only Japan, and likely Japan because they tend to be a compliant population, which I also...
This is that issue in Japan of self-replicating, reproducing mRNA vaccines, RNA vaccines. They call it self-amplifying. I don't know why, but they do. I understand why, but it's reproducing is what it is.
Very important to note, thank goodness, many Japanese have stood up and have said no way to this, including one of their big popular gyms that have said, until you can assure us that we're safe to be around people who have received this technology, we don't want them coming to our gyms, right? Not that I want to be promoting reverse discrimination, but there's a scientific basis. There's a scientific concern here. There's multiple.
Well, he's correct. These people who have taken a self-replicating, sheddable vaccine should not be in close proximity to anyone who doesn't want to be around that environment. They have that right. So there's no reverse discrimination at all. It's giving the option to people to choose how they will address or won't address shedding. Very simple.
Sir, and then, like you said, if we put this into the broader context, what we're dealing with the current SARS coronavirus 2, we're essentially dealing with a cold-causing virus, right? That we're dealing with a cold-causing virus. That's it. Yes, like any cold-causing virus, there are high-risk demographics. We don't roll out a technology like this for something that is of such relative low risk. And the other thing that I just want to get out, which is very important, we know shedding happens with this technology, with these technologies. We know it because it's been published. We find fragments of the modified RNA from the Pfizer Moderna shots getting into breast milk and being fed inadvertently to babies. So shedding happens. With a first-generation technology, I suspect that most of the negative impact of shedding on people in the environment may be caused by other people having developed hypersensitivities to things like the spike protein. So,
Think about that. If you're going to be hypersensitive to anything, I would think that the spike protein would certainly be right near the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible thing. It causes so many things in the human body, as you know, if you've been with us for all these years we've been doing this now. It is a terrible, terrible thing. And in the very beginning, he said it. No, what did the Indian doctor from South Africa came forward and said that the spike protein is the deadliest thing that man has ever created? And Chetty was right. He won't say that anymore for some reason. I don't know why. But he was, I believe, threatened at one point. I don't want to speak for him, but I think he did run into some serious trouble for speaking the truth early on, and he did. All right, back to Dr. Byram Bridle.
I'm not concerned about, so I do have concerns, and it can cause harm, I do believe, potentially, to those around us. And I can't emphasize enough, the research to definitively address the issue of shedding is relatively cheap and quick to do, so it should be done. But that concern gets amplified dramatically when it comes to self-amplifying RNA technology, Sean. This is why. The threshold dose that a cell needs to receive of this genetic material for this process that Dr. Rose has beautifully laid out, right? How she's told everybody how it works. In order for that process to be kickstarted in a cell, it has been scientifically estimated to be as little as 3 of these genetic pieces of material.
Yes.
Now you think about the shedding. If I know this technology. I am not comfortable being around people who get this new self-amplifying RNA technology encapsulated lipid nanoparticle, because I want people to definitively show me that I am not going to be inadvertently inoculated.
Yeah, exactly.
I've not consented to that. It is not fair to do this to people and not provide them, first of all, with proper informed consent, and then put others at risk of having their bodies modified.
And that's a product of shedding. He's talking about this very straightforwardly, and he should. This is great. These people who are taking these self-replicating, self-reproducing, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines that are only made in Japan right now are going to give that to anybody they come into contact with, potentially, via shedding.
Yeah.
You can't do that to other human beings, especially if these damn things are fatal, which we know they are and can be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By technology that they have not consented to, and I can't emphasize so much as enough. I personally don't see how, with the first generation technology, somebody, you know, it could get modified. I believe, yes, they could be exposed to things like the spike protein that might have a hypersensitivity to it. So they might have alterations in menstruation, they might have skin reactions, other things that people have been describing. But in this case, all it takes is three copies of this RNA, perhaps as little as three copies of this RNA, to get into one of my cells. And then that process is kickstarted.
Wow. One exhalation, one cough. How about a handshake? You know, it goes right through. The spike can go right through the skin. So can the RNA factor. And it goes right into a cell. And from there, it's a downhill ride all the way. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Any more here?
Yeah, keep going.
And there's no guarantee that that one cell, because again, it's self-amplifying. There's no break. There's no break on them. And so, like you said, Jessica, I'm not even sure that if a cell runs out of its metabolic activity, that this is restricted to a single cell.
Right.
Because often, once those cells, once their metabolic activity starts getting depleted, they're going to start dying. And then we have the potential for release of this to get into other cells.
Exactly.
And again, right now,
wouldn't the T cells potentially be there to kill the cell if they notice something's wrong with it, and that would release it too? Is that what he's saying?
Well, if the cell is infected, you know, and the T cell doesn't get it, you know, it's supposed to eliminate the cell anyway if it's producing foreign proteins.
Right.
It's acting like a virus. An out-of-control virus.
Exactly.
It's all theoretical. People will say these people are talking about theoretical possibilities. Yes, but until it's, again, when you look at that, if you think about the potential for this technology broadly rolled out, and all of a sudden other people around them are inadvertently been vaccinated, because if you get this and it takes in your cells, and there's any potential for cell-to-cell spread, then this could actually spread through your body. And now you have been vaccinated unbeknownst to yourself, and you've never consented to it. So I want to highlight that, as this is really where this technology is going. And just so all of you realize, I found this frightening. We're all trying to stay up on this science. So I think I'm up to date on all the science. I just found out of the blue, last week, I found out that there is a replicon vaccine technology manufactured, that has been deployed in Ontario.
In
dogs and cats.
Yeah.
A rabies vaccine based on this replicon technology. Now, I have been able to look, and it's not lipid nanoparticles. It turns out it's in a protein capsid. So I theoretically would think that would have much less chance of this widespread systemic biodistribution, and therefore probably much less chance of shedding.
But
they're not telling people. I know veterinarians who have just switched from the traditional rabies vaccine to this new replicon vaccine without telling their clients. Their clients they're not telling them that they're using this new technology.
Does that suggest dog or cat transmission to either dog or cat or potentially people?
We don't know.
Because this RNA stuff is so crazy new, they have no data. They're guessing.
Yeah, we discussed this, I don't know, what was it, a couple of weeks ago? We did a program on this topic, and this is the same technology that they're using in pigs that they've been using since 2017. I don't know what the consequences have been.
No,
people have been
don't.
Eating these pigs with this technology. Unless you're running a swinery, I don't know.
I haven't heard that word before, swinery. I like that. That's a good one.
All
right, now.
But it is a concern because we're not just talking about the RNA spreading. That would be bad enough.
Yes.
But the protein that's being
coded. The protein may not be a spike. It may be worse than a spike.
Will it be biologically active? And if so, what is it acting on?
Right. Well, here we are back to shedding again, which is the most uncomfortable topic that many people can even begin to approach. If you've got mixed vax households, for example, you have unquestionable shedding going on when the household is together. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
And now they're finding spike, was it 4 years or 5 years in the brain? On autopsy, they were finding spikes somewhere.
Yeah, it was a long time. Three years, I think.
Yeah, and you know,
maybe,
people...
Maybe, yeah.
No, it was several. I think it was four, but whatever. People don't talk about the sterilization of males, which we know is going on.
Mm.
They do talk about menstrual problems, women, I understood, but they should talk equally about the sterilization of both sexes. Because that's apparently going on. And if you are not shot up and you're being shed upon and you're a male, you may well end up being sterile from that.
Yep.
Because you're not just receiving the spike. You're receiving the mRNA instructions as well.
Possibly.
Dr. Stephanie, we don't know for sure, but that's Stephanie Seneff, and she's making
a
statement.
It's a possibility.
Yeah,
you would think after all this time, we have more clarity on all of this. What's being shed, for example? Why is that so hard to figure out?
It's not. They just don't want to tell us. That's my take.
Yeah.
They know damn well what's going on.
And there are people who have taken the vax. This is odd. That are not. They don't have any antibody response.
That is
so,
weird.
But they're very sick.
What the hell's making them sick?
That's a good question.
Hmm.
Maybe it's something other than spike. We have the direct toxic effects of the spike, and then we have secondary toxic effects. The havoc that this thing initiates once it's in the body, which I contend is this disruption of copper homeostasis for one. And iron homeostasis, and then if you're not able to detoxify aldehydes, which are coming, aldehydes are ubiquitous in the environment. They're inside you. They're a product of metabolism. You get exposed from the environment, but they're toxic, and some are more toxic than others. But if you're not able to detoxify these things, you are at risk of cancer, neurodegeneration. Aldehydes in general are endocrine disruptors, so you reproductive problems, hormone problems, you name it. So what's doing the most damage? And getting the spike in you because it's so persistent. Once it's in you, it's not that easy to get it out.
No.
So
especially if it latches onto the bacteria in your digestion. Goodbye.
Yeah, so that's why it makes sense maybe to take some kind of intestinal binder. There's many to choose from. Find one that agrees with you. They can be constipating. Keep that in mind. So you want to start small and see how you react to it. But it's important to get the bile and whatever that bile is carrying out.
Got it. You mentioned the phosphatidylcholine?
Phosphatidylcholine, yep. That will help your liver and your brain. And, you know, that's one of the things that as women age, when they lose the estrogen, they don't produce as much choline. And that's one of the things that puts them at risk for Alzheimer's. I mean, women are at higher risk of Alzheimer's than men, and that is one reason. I would maintain that copper is another reason.
Yeah. All right.
But choline, and in particular phosphatidylcholine, which you can buy as a supplement, is a really good nutrient for your liver and your brain and your cell membranes.
That's
your cell
pH,
membranes are taking a hit, too.
P-H-O-S, phos, P-H-O, P-H-O, then T-I-T-A-L, phosphatidylcholine, C-H-O-L-I-N-E. Phosphatidylcholine. All right. Did you get kicked off? Did they pull your plug on the... thought so. Yeah, well, always happens when serious subjects are being talked about. That's the way it works. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We covered a lot of ground. And again, it's your decision. You choose who you wish to accept and agree with and follow. We hope you'll make the best decision for yourselves. That's all we can do. So it's totally up to you. Thank you. Excellent, as always. Amazing information.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Good night, everyone.
All right. We'll pause and come right back with more.